This is your NPR News Station, 90.3 WBHM and 91.5 WSGN. I'm Andrew Yeager. Tomorrow marks the 50th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act. It's the law that abolished literacy tests and other tools designed to keep black people from voting. The momentum for the civil rights victories of 1965 started 10 years earlier with the Montgomery bus boycott. Tuskegee civil rights lawyer Fred Gray was one of the forces behind that boycott. Greg Bass spoke with Gray about his career, where he represented the Selma marchers, Martin Luther King, and a seamstress named Rosa Parks.
Fred Gray's mother wanted him to become a preacher, and his early life seemed to point him in that direction.
And at an early age, she said, I baptized cats and dogs and anything else I could get.
With the help of her church, Gray's mother sent him to a religious boarding school in Nashville through high school. When he returned home to Montgomery to attend college, he relied on the bus system for transportation. Gray says the humiliation blacks suffered when made to give up their seats to whites was increasingly hard to swallow.
And because of the bus situations and recognized that everything else was completely segregated, I made a personal, private, secret commitment that I was going to finish state, finish law school, take the Alabama bar exam, become a lawyer, and destroy everything segregated I could find.
Gray went to Case Western Reserve University Law School in Cleveland and returned to Montgomery in 1954 to begin his practice. He got to know political activist Joanne Robinson. Like many people of color in Montgomery, Robinson suffered abuse while riding city buses. After 15-year-old Claudette Colvin was arrested for refusing to give up her seat in March of 55, Gray was called to defend her. Joanne Robinson, Fred Gray, and E.D. Nixon, head of the local chapter of the NAACP, decided the bus system had to change.
And one thing we concluded was, one, the next time a situation like this occurs, we're going to be prepared to go on and do more than just dispose of the criminal or quasi-criminal aspect of it. And that opportunity presented itself with Mrs. Parks.
Rosa Parks is probably the most recognizable name in civil rights history after Martin Luther King Jr. As a young man, Fred Gray knew Parks as youth leader of the local NAACP chapter. When he came back to Montgomery, they often got together to talk politics.
So every day for our lunch period, she would usually walk down to my office. We'd sit down and share our lunches together and talk about things from the bus situation to the youth situations to the fact that everything was segregated to what a person should or should not do in the event they were arrested, similar to what Claudette Colvin was. I knew then that if an opportunity presented itself, she probably would not get up and give up her seat.
On December 1st, 1955, Rosa Parks was arrested for failing to give up her seat. Joanne Robinson led a successful effort to get the black community to stay off the buses the day of Parks' trial.
And since we had said for people to stay off the buses for one day, they stayed off for that day during the trial. We felt now we need to keep them off until we can go back on a non-segregated basis or get the issues resolved. The people continued to stay off of the buses. You had the mass demonstration, the Montgomery bus boycott, where the first time you had about 40,000 people who were working together in solving a problem.
Gray filed a lawsuit in federal court calling for an end to segregated buses. The bus boycott that began with Rosa Parks' trial lasted 381 days and ended only when the Supreme Court agreed that the segregated bus system was a violation of the law. It was the first of many civil rights cases Fred Gray would win. In our next conversation, Gray will discuss the Selma March, school desegregation in Alabama, and the person he sued more than any other, George Wallace. For WBHM, I'm Greg Bass.